Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. St. Paul says to Timothy, "For God gave us a spirit not of cowardice, but of power and love and wisdom. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." When St. Paul penned these words, he was sitting in a Roman prison, the first of many such places that he would know in his earthly life. Awaiting a trial and possibly his death, he sat there for his illegal teaching of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Paul says in his letter to Timothy that his heart aches because he cannot be with Timothy, because he longed to see his student and fellow preacher of the gospel again. Faced with the very real possibility of death and the reality that he will probably never see Timothy again in this life, St. Paul gives thanks for Timothy's faith. The same faith which gives Paul hope for his future. As the Lord says through the prophet Habakkuk, "The righteous shall live by his faith." Though separated in life and perhaps never to see one another again before death, he and his student, his beloved son, would be reunited in heaven on that day, on that great and glorious day of the Lord, because they live by his faith. While in chains, St. Paul boldly writes to admonish Timothy to remember his ordination and to encourage him not to speak timidly or with cowardice, but in power, with love and discernment. He pleaded with him not to be ashamed of the gospel or fearful of prison or even of death. He urged him to look to Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Finally, he insisted that the young pastor cling to the pattern of sound words, sound teaching, sound doctrine that he had been taught. For as a healthy body wards off sickness, so too do sound words, correct doctrine, ward off cowardice, spiritual distress, and even eternal death. If we were as unconcerned about ourselves and our condition as St. Paul was, we would be very different people. We would show forth Christ's love, not just once in a while, but in absolutely everything that we do. If we were as certain of the power of the sound words of God as St. Paul was, we wouldn't be ashamed or afraid to speak in love and with wisdom. We wouldn't apologize to the unholy world for the holy words of our holy God. If we trusted Jesus as St. Paul trusted Jesus, our vision wouldn't be so clouded. And we would see clearly that God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His eternal purpose. Jesus says, "Faith as a grain of a mustard seed saves. It is powerful enough to uproot trees and to move mountains." So where then is our faith? It is time to put away the excuses. Time to stop being afraid of what others may think about us or about our God and His Word. It is time to shut our ears to the false teachers of this world. Time to cling only to the sound words of the Lord in all things. As the writer to the Hebrews says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." As St. Paul encouraged Timothy to fulfill his vocation with confidence and wisdom, so too do I encourage you to be who God has called and made you to be. With all confidence and love, I say to you that my heart aches when you are not here at church. When you separate yourself from this community, from this family, from these gifts of God, and therefore even from God Himself. My heart aches when you set aside the sound words of the Lord and adopt the words of this unholy age. When you would rather sleep in or do something more important than hear God's word and receive Jesus' body and blood, as if there was anything else more important than those things. My heart aches when you would rather walk away than run with perseverance the race that God has set before you. For more than 7 years, you have been our family. You are one another's family, too. We have been called and gathered in this place by the Holy Spirit to weep together, to rejoice together, to share one another's burdens. And as Paul cared for Timothy as his own child in the faith, so too should we care for each other. So as a family, then, it is time to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. No more apathy. No more excuses. Come to church. Attend Bible study. Confess your sins. Be absolved. Put your offering into the plate joyfully. Receive Christ's body and blood frequently for the forgiveness of your sins. Love one another as Christ has loved you. Encourage one another even more as the day draws near, and do not let anything or anyone else stand in the way. I need you. My wife and children need you. Your church family needs you too. As we are brothers and sisters gathered here around God's holy table and in His words, I beg you then to consider your time and how it is used each week. Can you see that just a few hours given to the Lord for the study of His word and a few more hours set aside to receive His gifts is not too much to ask or too much to give? Consider your talents and special abilities and how you use them now to help friends and neighbors, to make a living. And then ponder how this congregation, your family, could also benefit from these God-given abilities. Consider your treasure and how you use it. Remember God's promise through the prophet Malachi, that when you give to Him in faith, He will open the windows of heaven and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. See that what He asks of you, so that His word may be preached and taught in our community, to our children and to their children, is really nothing at all, a mere pittance compared to what He has given you. Today I have recommitted myself to God's divine call from you and have declined God's divine call to serve in Texas. I ask not that you recommit yourselves to me, but to your Lord. That you would constrain yourself to look at the signs of this perilous age that we live in, the struggles that are coming for our congregation and all churches in the near future, and then see also the opportunities to share Jesus that our Lord has set before us. Take seriously His invitation to be gathered around His gifts and not forsake Him or despise preaching and His word. Yes, I know. Because we are conceived and born in sin, we are not able to fulfill what God demands in His word or even accept with joy with our whole hearts what He offers and invites us to receive. Our motives are selfish and impure all the time. Even when the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But that is why you need Jesus. This is why we, our family, needs Jesus. Not gimmicks or programs, not fads or the latest and greatest idea of our unchristian culture, not better excuses or more loopholes in the law. We need Jesus. St. Paul needed Jesus. Timothy needed Jesus. Those who heard them preach the gospel needed Jesus. Have I made it clear? We need Jesus. We need His righteousness, His cross, His suffering, His death for us. We need His resurrection, His ascension, His forgiveness, His Holy Spirit, His rest, and His peace. We need His perfect word of law to wake us from our inactivity and to arouse us from our apathy and sleep. We need His voice in our ears to open them. We need His light to shine and open our eyes. We need His hands to open our lips that we may sing His praise. We need His saving word of absolution for our many failures and sins against our neighbors, against our family, and against Him. We need His baptism to make us clean and to give us a name that is above all names. We need His body and blood to feed and nourish our souls so that we can live. As individuals, as a congregation, we need Jesus. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in Him unceasing. And by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. We are not saved because we are so dedicated to attending church, or because we sacrifice or think we sacrifice more than others. We are saved by His faith, by His faithfulness unto death. He carried our sins as a giant millstone around His neck, and He gave up His life so that you could live. This is not some fanciful fairy tale. These are not idle words. The chains that bind you in your sin are not imaginary either. They weigh you down and bring you to death without Jesus. But these words, this deed of Jesus, they abolish death and cast off the chains and the weight of sin and bring life and immortality to life. This Jesus whom Paul and Timothy proclaim, whom Eunice and Lois confessed and taught to their child, that I proclaim to you again today, He is your Savior and friend. He is the one who breaks your chains and sets you free. He is the one who gives you joy. He is your life, my life, our life together. I always thank my God for all of you as I remember you in my prayers. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow then the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Jesus died on the cross that your sins would be forgiven. And they are. He died that you would be set free from those sins. And you have been. Come then, let me serve you again. Let us feast together on our Lord's body and blood and live together in peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.